No other men set foot upon the inner ground of the place. Oh, there had once been pilgrimages, kings and chieftains coming from the four lands to worship there. The first god-king, a century and a half ago, had come to enact the rites of his own temple. Yet even he could not enter among the tombstones. Even he had to eat and sleep outside the wall around the place. One could climb that wall easily enough, fitting toes into crevices. The Eaten One and a girl called Penthi were sitting up on the wall one afternoon in late spring. They were both 12 years old. They were supposed to be in the weaving room of the big house, a huge stone attic. They were supposed to be at the great looms always warped with dull black wool, weaving black cloth for robes. They had slipped outside for a drink at the well in the courtyard, and then Arha had said, "Come on!" and had led the other girl down the hill, around out of sight of the big house, to the wall. Now they sat on top of it, 10 feet up, their bare legs dangling down on the outside, looking over the flat plains that went on and on to the east and north. "I'd like to see the sea," said Penthi. "What for?" said Arha, chewing a bitter stem of milkweed she had picked from the wall. The barren land was just past its flowering. All the small desert blossoms, yellow and rose and white, low-growing and quick-flowering, were going to seed, scattering tiny plumes and parasols of ash-white on the wind, dropping their hooked, ingenious burrs. The ground under the apple trees of the orchard was a drift of bruised white and pink. The branches were green, the only green trees within miles of the place. Everything else, from horizon to horizon, was a dull, tawny desert color, except that the mountains had a silvery, bluish tinge from the first buds of the flowering sage. "Oh, I don't know what for. I'd just like to see something different. It's always the same here. Nothing happens."
"All that happens everywhere begins here," said Arha.
"Oh, I know. But I'd like to see some of it happening." Penthi smiled. She was a soft, comfortable-looking girl. She scratched the soles of her bare feet on the sun-warmed rocks, and after a while went on, "You know, I used to live by the sea when I was little. Our village was right behind the dunes, and we used to go down and play on the beach sometimes. Once, I remember we saw a fleet of ships going by, way out at sea. The ships looked like dragons with red wings. Some of them had real necks with dragon heads. They came sailing by Atuan, but they weren't Kargis ships. They came from the west, from the inner lands," the headman said. "Everybody came down to watch them. I think they were afraid they might land. They just went by. Nobody knew where they were going. Maybe to make war in Karego-At. But think of it. They really came from the Sorcerer's Islands, where all the people are the color of dirt, and they can all cast a spell on you as easy as winking."
"Not on me," Arha said fiercely. "I wouldn't have looked at them. They're vile, accursed sorcerers. How dare they sail so close to the Holy Land?"
"Oh, well, I suppose the God-King will conquer them some day and make them all slaves. But I wish I could see the sea again.
There used to be little octopuses in the tide pools, and if you shouted boo at them, they turned all white.
There comes Old Man and looking for you."
Arha's guard and servant was coming slowly along the inner side of the wall. He would stoop to pull a wild onion, of which he held a large, limp bunch, then straighten up and look about him with his small, dull brown eyes. He'd grown fatter with the years, and his hairless yellow skin glistened in the sun.
"Slide down part of the way on the men's side," Arha hissed. and both girls wriggled blithe as lizards down the far side of the wall until they could cling there just below the top, invisible from the inner side. They heard Manon's slow footsteps coming by.
"Hoo-hoo, potato face," crooned Arha,
a whispering jeer faint as the wind among the grasses. The heavy tread halted.
"Who there?" said the uncertain voice. "Little one? Arha?"
Silence. Manon went forward.
"Ooh, potato face. Ooh, potato belly,"
Penthy whispered in imitation, and then moaned, trying to suppress giggles.
"Oh, somebody there?"
Silence.
"Oh, oh, well, well, well,"
the eunuch sighed, and his slow feet went on. When he was gone over the shoulder of the slope, the girl scrambled back up onto the top of the wall. Penthy was pink with sweat and giggles, but Arha looked savage.
"The stupid old bellwether following me around everywhere."
"He has to," Penthy said reasonably. "It's his job, looking after you."
"Those I serve look after me. I please them. I need please nobody else. These old women and half-men, these people, should leave me alone. I am the one priestess."
Penthy stared at the other girl.
"Oh," she said feebly. "Oh, I know you are, Arha. Then they should let me be and not order me about all the time."
Penthy said nothing for a while, but sighed, and sat swinging her plump legs and gazing.